Illinois Republicans are recouping and reassessing as well. After the midterm election, State Representative Dan Brady won another term representing Bloomington Normal's 105th District. He's in House leadership. Brady credits constituent service for the win and his willingness to work with members of the opposite party to get things done, including his involvement in a higher education task force. GLT's Colleen Reynolds talked with Brady about his priorities and about working with Democratic Governor-elect J.B. Pritzker. First up, though, Brady says, is the fall veto session of the General Assembly.
One of my strongest priorities is my role in public higher education in the state as minority spokesman in the House. And on our working group, our bipartisan working group, which has worked very diligently dealing with legislation to help students with their financial responsibility and burdens through grant funding, through universities assistance funding from the state, and an AIM High program and other programs aimed at how do we keep the best and brightest in Illinois schools of secondary education. And so that's going to continue in a focus on a funding formula. During veto, we have meetings scheduled already, and so it's going to be an ongoing piece of important budget work, much like what was done through K-12.
Is there any piece of legislation will be coming before you in the veto session that you want to override the governor's veto on anything?
Well, I think we'll be looking at legislation dealing with the minimum salary for teachers in the state coming back on a potential override. There may be some other legislation dealing with obviously aviation fuel and tax in the state of Illinois. The governor had vetoed. There will be the potential of other pieces of legislation introduced, which is not usually done in veto session, but with such a large number of in the House on both Democrat and Republican side of those that announced retirements even before this election night came, it would might be in an environment where some things will roll out vote-wise that hasn't been there before. Recreational use of marijuana, potential is there for some other things. So I think there'll be a number of things that aren't just veto overrides that we may be doing.
Typically, that is reserved for emergency type legislation, though. Mm-hmm. Legalization of recreational marijuana, would that fall into emergency?
Not
for some people, yeah, I suppose.
Maybe. Not in my opinion, but I'm not the Speaker of the House. I don't control the flow of legislation, and I've in my career seen things occur in veto session because of certain numbers changing in a majority or minority. The speaker will decide that, and so there may be other things with a large turnover in his caucus of retirements that he may bring other things in.
So this governor's race was the most expensive in any governor's race across this country. A lot of people would say it was an obscene amount of money spent. Give me your response to that. Is that a problem?
I think that it is a problem when you get to that amount of money. I mean, obviously, anyone should be able to spend their dollars the way they see fit. But I think it's something that when you get to those levels, one of the most expensive in the country, we have to look at how we can truly look at the funding side of politics and how that's truly going to help the electorate and the tone of ads and the politics of personal destruction. Those are things that just, to me, I'd like to see it removed somehow. I'm not sure how we do that, but the money seems to be the root of all evil.
Is there any incentive to change?
Well, I think the only way you have an incentive to change is that you look at what's been done in the past. And we need to look at what gives all potential candidates across the state the ability to run for office and try not to be a mismatch for resources. And so, you know, that is something that continues to be discussed in Springfield and has and will be in the future. And we'll just have to see what type of ideas come out.
We're talking with Republican State Representative Dan Brady. You talked about reaching across the aisle. It's a phrase that we hear a lot of. Is there going to be a change of attitude? Has what's happened with our national electorate sent a message, do you think, to lawmakers here in Illinois?
I don't know about the national side of things. I can only go by the Dan Brady rule, and the Dan Brady rule is try and treat others how you'd like to be treated. And when it comes to politics, and my colleagues who are the Democrats and my colleagues who are Republicans and independents and others, it's in the middle. When I get to a point that I don't think they bring something to the table, then that's when I'm missing the boat to be a good representative. I mean, I'd agree, but I listen. And I think if we had more of that and stability more and due course and civil respect in politics, I think we'd be doing we would be doing the people that were supposed to represent a better justice.
J.B. Pritzker, do you think you're going to be able to work with him? How do you feel about him as a leader?
I've worked with Republican and Democrat governors. I've disagreed and I've agreed. Important thing is we've done some good things. I have to keep doing good things for the 105th District. Who's ever in the governor's mansion, we're going to work with them.
Is there anything about what J.B. Pritzker said during his campaign that scares you?
No, I don't think there's anything that scares me. Everybody has different styles. Everybody should be given a chance and given an opportunity. And that's what I intend to do.
Looking at some local advisory referendums, one of the questions on the ballot poses the question, would you like to see an increase in your property tax to help pay for state pensions? Mm-hmm. And resoundingly in Bloomington and in rural McLean County and Normal by about 73%, surprisingly, they said no. Mm-hmm. However, we still have funded pensions. Is there any plan that you see coming that will do more than what's been done in the past?
Well, not from this advisory referendum. What we have to do is get serious about the fact of what we're going to do and direct dollars into it. The General Assembly advisory referendum and no advisory referendum, we know taxes aren't popular. But if there's some stability of what could be done for pensions to stabilize them, whether that be change in 401k plans, whatever we do, we know we've made some changes in the past of new enrollees into the system. We know we've done some other things. But the reality has to be, if we're going to do something in the way of a tax, we have to have a dedicated guarantee, as much as that's possible in Springfield, that that money's going to go to pensions. It's going to go to stabilize the pension systems. When I talk to people in my legislative district, I said, you know, I could almost go for something like that to stabilize the pensions, protect them, make sure it's going to be there, if we could trust you folks in Springfield with what you're going to do with the money, if we give it to you. And that's where the ongoing debate goes.
Your opponent suggested a 1% to 2% tax on the highest income individuals. Is that something you could consider?
I think as we go back, any options on the table, what is troublesome to me is that whatever we talk about in the way of revenue, that we have a streamlined funding that we know where it's going to go. We saw the temporary income tax that was voted on 5 years ago, and we saw what was done when it was sold to pay down the mountain of debt. It didn't go to all that. In fact, it went to very little of that. It went to stabilizing other programs, creating new programs. We can't have that. And this is going to be probably a very difficult position for a Republican such as myself to be in with the new controlled General Assembly and the new governor. But I'm willing to give that my best effort and work to the best of my ability.
One more question, and that has to do with another advisory referendum that asked voters what they thought about term limits. Would they favor term limits? And the results were pretty consistent. About 92% said yes. Mm-hmm. If there were term limits, there would be no Dan Brady, a state representative. What do you say to this overwhelming desire for term limits?
Well, I'd say it doesn't equate to those individuals who believe I do a good job, because they've said not only do we don't agree with the term limit, we want to put you back in, Dan, to continue your term. And the other thing is we should be looking at term limits for caucus leaders, not to take away from the voters the ability for individuals like myself to run every 2 years and stand before the voters. The voters shouldn't have that taken away from them. It should be their ideas. You want to do something about the way Springfield operates, look at term limits for caucus leaders. That's what should be looked at.
State Representative Dan Brady talking with GLT's Colleen Reynolds. Brady won his 10th term, defeating teacher Ben Webb.